victim to me. Everything we are and used to be is buried and gone. Now it's my turn to speak.
The views expressed on the following broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of KHLT, Take 12 Radio, or our affiliates. The opinions on this show should not be considered as medical, psychological, or professional advice, and are those of the host, co-host, and guest. Take 12 Radio and KHLT Recovery Broadcasting are not affiliated with any particular 12-step fellowship.
Welcome to Entitled to Overcome, Exploring Solutions for Life Today, a presentation of Take 12 Recovery Radio. And now, here are your co-hosts, Dave Fleming and the Monty Man.
Greetings, one and all. I am the Monty Man, and right there is the vid, the Dave Fleming. Hey, Dave.
What's up, Monty?
Hey, well, it's been a heck of a week.
Twilight Zone stuff.
Oh, my gosh. Well, welcome, folks, to another episode of Entitled to Overcome, specifically Solutions for Life Today. If you're watching on YouTube, there's Vid's lovely face staring back at you. If you're on audio, welcome as well. Don't forget to subscribe to our shows by hitting the subscribe button. That's how you subscribe.
What's up, audio?
Hit the subscribe button. So this week, the topic for this show is the mouth reflects the heart. We're going to be talking about that here in a few minutes. We like to do a little icebreaker before we get going. And it's that time as the clock ticks away, Dave.
Tick, 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 tock.
It's time for Dave and Monty's icebreaker.
That's right. Okay, well, this is
one
a bit.
Got away.
What?
I think one got away.
One got away? This is a bit of a somber one, but it needs to be brought up because. Heck, the guy was with us for 8+ years, and that's our co-host, Denver Wolf. And last Monday, on the Take 12 Recovery Radio Show, we had asked prayer for Denver because he wasn't feeling well. And then Dave and I both found out not too many hours later that Denver had passed away due to complications with his heart. And so, and then we lost a former student at the Adult and Teen Challenge Men's Center who passed away due to complications surrounding an overdose. So we got hit twice, you know. And I was pretty close to that student. And Dave and I were very close to Denver. Gosh, he's been with us all these years, and I'm still processing. I don't know about you.
Yeah,
I mean, you said that when you pulled up, you halfway expected him to.
Yeah, I was sitting in my truck listening to something on the radio, and I was half expecting Denver to come pulling up into the driveway like, you know, he usually does.
Right.
So yeah, that's
it's rough.
And not only that, but there's been several other people that have passed away, and then one of my best friends' celebration of life was on Sunday.
That's right. You had a buddy that passed.
Yeah, yeah. And unfortunately I couldn't be there because I had to be back for work.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it's been a week.
Yeah, it has been a week. And so one of the things that we want to do here at Take 12 Recovery Radio, and I'm going to invite you, the listeners, to join with us in this, if at all possible, is we're coming alongside Denver's family to help raise funds. These folks have no funds. like a lot of us today. I mean, things are just getting crazy expensive. And so the family has started a GoFundMe page to pay for funeral and memorial expenses. You can get to that page by simply going to take12radio.com. And right to the right of my picture there on the top of the page, it says Denver's GoFundMe page. And just click on the GoFundMe link. It'll take you right to the page. No amount is too small. People say, oh, I only have $10. Hey, let me tell you something. $10 multiplied over and over and over again, it gets the job done. And if you're able to come alongside with Take 12 Recovery Radio and Dave and myself to help offset some of these expenses, it would be greatly, greatly appreciated. Denver gave so much of himself, and we just feel that it's time to give back. And so if you're able to do that, that's much appreciated. If you're not, we totally understand as well. But please keep the family in your prayers and us in your prayers as we maneuver through these waters of grief and sorrow. And we're happy for Denver because we know where Denver's at. You know, he's dancing with the Lord, and he gets to sit under that palm tree he always wanted to sit under, but it's just not going to be in Mexico. He always talks about that.
Someplace better.
Someplace way better. Yeah. So, yeah, there you go there. And kind of a somber icebreaker, but one that was necessary nonetheless. All right, when we come back, we're going to be hitting this topic, the mouth reflects the heart, and what the heck does that mean? So don't go away. Check this out right after this. Hey, come on and have some fun with me. I'm the Monty Man, and I am the co-host of Walking Through the Language of the Heart, a workshop that we are developing, putting together, and currently broadcasting here at Take 12 Recovery Radio, which includes AA co-founder Bill W.'s writings in the grapevine from 1944 to 1970. Walking Through the Language of the Heart with myself and Chris S. is broadcasting and posted every Friday until we're completely done with this wonderful book. Simply visit us at take12radio.com, click on the Recovery Workshops banner, and there you'll find Walking Through the Language of the Heart, as well as other recovery workshops that we've produced here for you for free at Take 12 Recovery Radio. Visit us once again, take12radio.com, scroll down to the Recovery Workshops banner, click it, and you'll be well on your way.
I told a witch doctor I was in love with you. I told a witch doctor I was in love with you. And then the witch doctor, he told me what to do. He said that...
And now, back to Solutions for Life Today with Dave Fleming and the Monty Man.
Very good, boys. I told the witch doctor you didn't love me.
Yes, indeedy. Welcome back to the show. That's Dave Seville, Alvin, and the Chipmunks.
Alvin!
Hey, Dave.
I haven't heard that thing in a long time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I got tired of playing Monster Mash every October on one of our shows, so I dug up this one in honor of spooky month. However you don't celebrate that, like to celebrate it or whatever, the fact is it is here. October is here, and be nice to your neighbors. Don't smash their pumpkins. Just don't do that unless you're smashing pumpkins, and then you're playing music, right? Did you ever listen to those guys?
Okay, stop.
I never did. I never heard one Smashing Pumpkins song.
No?
Nope.
Are you sure?
Well, maybe I did and didn't know it. Who knows? Were they even really a deal? I guess so.
Yeah, for a second.
Right, for a second. Right, okay. Well, this is from The Man Within, a book, A Daily Devotions for Men in Recovery, that Dave turned me on to some time back. This one is entitled, Where Does Your Heart Live? which I pulled the title of the show, The Mouth Reflects the Heart. And I'll read this and then we can comment on it and share. It gives a proverb 23:7, for as he thinks in his heart, so he be. And then it states, we often speak of discernment as it relates to specific choices we make. Usually when we are unclear on a particular decision, discernment is that tool that weighs the evidence and brings clarity to thought. This can be of great value when we come in contact with people. And God has given us an extra hand when it comes to discernment with others. Many people are their own undoing. In a social or professional setting, we can frequently discern the fiber of a man by his conversation and thoughts. I have heard it said that a man's words are a path to his heart. The inference here is that if we could use his words as stones and follow them one by one, we could see that kind of condition his heart is in, not to mention where it lives. The heart's condition and where it lives are indicators of priorities, heavenly or earthly. If someone were to take your thoughts and words and trace them back to your heart, what would be found? Would he find a home with a firm foundation supported by beams of God's word, or would he find a loose temporary structure swaying with every wind of change? And then the prayer is, Father, make my heart pure and my thoughts a reflection of you. Ouch. So I was thinking of that Dave, I was thinking of that scripture verse in Matthew where Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and he's having a very firm conversation with them because they are doing what they do so well, being overly critical and very religious, right? Trying to trap Jesus in everything he does. And they're talking about, you know, what is good and what is evil, that kind of thing. And he says to them, make a tree good and its fruits will be good, or make a tree bad and its fruits will be bad, for a tree is recognized by its fruits. You brood of vipers, he's talking to the religious leaders of the day. How can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. So I read that, and it convicts me. You know, thank God for grace, because sometimes out of the abundance of my heart, my mouth speaks words, well, that shows kind of where my heart is in the moment. You know, sometimes it's a knee-jerk reaction, you know, the hammer on the thumb thing, right? And something comes forth that isn't real pretty. That's not really a condition of the heart. That's a knee-jerk reaction to a high-stress environment. But man, where my heart is, that's where I live. What comes out of my mouth on a regular basis really does reflect, you know, where my heart is anyway. So what do you think, bud?
I think the reading is just ties into a whole bunch of things.
Yeah.
That I can think of. One of them is that video that I sent you.
Oh yeah.
If you spend some time, you don't have to watch it all at once.
I started watching.
It totally
about a half
like
hour
ties
of it, yeah.
into. If you watch more of it, you'll see what I mean.
Okay.
But yeah. Because as I was thinking about this, when you were reading it, I'm also thinking of it. It's not. It gets more complicated than that statement. What comes out of the mouth reflects blah blah blah. Blah.
Uh-huh.
Right? What was the title again?
The mouth reflects the heart.
Right. So, and what I mean by that is and from my own personal like journey in recovery, I know back when I was living on the dark side in my addiction, you know, I think every other word was an F word,
yeah,
or you know, four letter word, whatever you want to say.
Sure.
And when I got into recovery, because if I'm thinking about that as you read it, it's like my heart doesn't reflect that, but my conditioning of what I've been doing for years has.
Oh, that's a good point.
Has reflected what is coming out of my mouth because, you know, if I'm hanging out with, it's like the old saying, if you hang out with criminals, you're going to be a criminal. If you hang out with wealthy people, you know, you're going to learn how to be wealthy. Same thing applies. If you're hanging around with people that's their language, you're going to adopt that. It doesn't necessarily mean that that's what's in your heart. And so when I got into recovery, I had to look at that because I also heard something along the way, and I don't remember if it was in my addiction. I think it was in my addiction, but I had to apply it when in recovery. It's like when you talk like that or use profanity or words associated with that, it basically shows how stupid you are. That's what that, I don't remember where I heard it, but it was in
I've heard people say that.
And so I'm thinking, I had to think about that when I'm in recovery, because I'm now, if I'm a changed person and I'm doing, the only thing you have to change is everything,
right?
Do the opposite of what I've been doing. I have to stop swearing and using, I have to use intelligent words. I have to use my vocabulary that I know I have.
Right.
Instead of defaulting to the simplistic slang response. And so I started that process. And a funny thing happened. So I substituted that with the words friggin' and fraggin' and...
Oh, euphemisms.
Right.
You did the euphemism dance.
And so somebody said along the way, it matters what your the intent of the word. And so I'm thinking about it and I'm going, well, I don't really mean, you know, the intent of the, you know, the original word, but it's just another way of reconditioning myself into conditioning myself to do something negative for the right reasons. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so then I had to think about that and go, okay, so now I have to stop that, because if my intent is to say the other word, which makes me sound stupid.
And you're just ignorant, camouflaging it.
Then I'm just putting a shiny bow or some lipstick on a pig.
Good point.
Right?
Yeah.
And so then I had to start that process. But it was probably took a good, I would say at least a year to go through that whole process in my first year of recovery or so.
Yeah. You know, I think this speaks to the cultural shift that often happens in our world, right? So one of the things that it just drives me crazy to the point where it's my problem, not the other guy's. Because if it's driving me that crazy, it's really on me.
Right.
But it's just one of those bugaboos I have. And that's when somebody says, somebody who's a God-fearing, God-loving, Bible-thumping, big book-reading, you know, person, and somebody says, are you sober today? And they go, hell yeah! And I'm like, why are you giving hell the credit? You know, well, they're really not, you know. Right. But by the time I read it, it gets to my ears because I have a sensitivity towards that. That you talked about culture and how you grew up and who you're hanging around, right?
Right.
Well, I had a grandfather who, it was my dad's dad, who was one of the most foul-mouthed people I've ever known in my whole life. He wasn't a foul man, but the culture he grew up, he owned a speakeasy in Stockton, California. So the culture he grew up in, I mean, just to say normal words was rare. Everything else was just you know, really hard to hear. And every time we go visit him, that's what I heard. I heard the F word constantly.
Because that was easy.
Yeah.
Hence the speakeasy.
And yeah, the N word constantly and all that. So I got it. You either fall into that or you get desensitized to it or you just, it just, it's like nails on a chalkboard. And so I've never really been a person, I don't know why, but I've never been a person to use foul language. I'm just not built that way or whatever. And so when I hear somebody say, well, hell yeah, giving, you know, appearing to give credit to hell instead of heaven, heaven, yeah, doesn't flow as well. You know, it tends to bother me, but it's my issue. It really isn't the other guy's issue.
Right.
You
well,
know,
and it go, it's so much deeper. And I've been looking into some of this recently over the last couple of years that, there's like the English language and the words that are used don't always mean what we think they mean, or they have multiple meanings.
Yeah.
And so if we don't, it's that, you know, the Johari window thing. If you don't know what you don't know.
Right.
Right. So
right.
You're utilizing right. what you have. I mean, we could go on so many rabbit trails just from that are going on in my brain right now about this, that we just, because the society or social norms tell us to do this or that, or mm-hmm. say this or that, or professionals say, this is what you need to do to take care of this or that. And so we just say, okay, must be true.
Right.
So we just go ahead now, regardless of whether or not that person's misguided.
Mm-hmm.
So as you can see, this can go on. We could create a whole, we could have a whole nother series of shows.
It's a root system that just goes on and on. Yeah, it really does.
And yeah, we'll save the other stuff for another time.
Well, you know, So I've got a good friend that says, I'm hella sober. Now, if I sat down and said, that sounds like you're giving hell the credit, he would be like, oh my gosh, heavens no, I would never do that.
Right.
He doesn't mean that. You know what I mean? So I think sometimes, there's nothing wrong with giving a guy a pass on some things and not getting your feathers too ruffled
but
about
maybe
it.
Maybe educate him.
Yeah, but maybe... Because you're right. You don't know what you don't know.
Right.
So if you're using a euphemism like frickin', but you don't know that's a euphemism, you don't even know that's a replacement for the other word because all your friends have been doing it. You kind of grew up with that. If you don't know what you don't know, right? And so is it really a euphemism for you? Not really. You're saying frickin' because you mean frickin', you know?
Well, until somebody points it out.
Until somebody points it out. Right. Then you're responsible.
And that's like anything else that we're ignorant about.
Mm-hmm.
Until someone points it out or we discover it on our
right.
own through
right.
our, you know, our research, we just keep on doing the same things.
Yeah, yeah. But I think, I've done a show on this before a long time ago called God in the Potty Mouth. And we had talked about there are other profane statements and words that don't fall into the, you know, the big seven, right? That people don't even think about. And that's the way we talk to each other. You know, the parent that says, you know what? You're never going to be like your brother. You're never going to measure up. That's profane. That's harsh. That tears down, doesn't build up. That's a profane
That's
word.
Probably
spoken.
Even worse.
It's probably even worse.
The F word.
Yeah, it's very demeaning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are just walking by somebody and saying a derogatory word to them as you walk by them under your breath, and they hear it. You know, loser.
Who does that?
You know,
I mean,
oh, I know lots of people that do that. I know approximately 28 individuals that do that. Dave and I know what I'm talking about, but. I see these 28 people on a pretty regular basis, and most of them do that to each other. And it's like, what did you just say? You heard me. But there's all sorts of, there's a major reasons why we do that kind of stuff. Defense mechanisms, survival skills that we thought were healthy, you know, to put somebody in his place so he doesn't get too close to me, you know, all that kind of stuff. But I do think there is something to be said about the fruit you produce, what comes out of your mouth, especially when you know. When you know and nothing's changing, like you always say, what do you got to change? Everything. And there's nothing changing in that area. I got to wonder, has there been a behavior change or has there been a heart change? And I think true recovery demands a heart change.
Well, yeah, that's, otherwise what's the change?
Right. Yeah. So.
Changing your shirt?
You can measure where my heart is by the way I act in situations that are challenging. And it doesn't necessarily mean my heart is bad, but that maybe my heart is grieving or my heart is hurt deeply, right? So I may, something may come out of my mouth that I really don't mean, but I'm acting out of frustration. It's like the hammer hitting the thumb, but it's emotional. And so I respond in a way because my heart is damaged.
Well, and there's that, and then... take this to the next level, right? It's because you don't know any better, right? Because a lot of times this is because we don't know how to communicate properly,
right?
It always goes back to communication. Because if I you know, like you're saying, the way that you deal with the situation or communicate with others is based on your experience.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not doing something well, then you need to change that.
Yeah. Yeah. Can some of the ways we talk just be out of habit?
Well, yeah.
And have nothing to do really with the condition of our heart?
Sometimes, but you have to, I think it, what happens is you have to be able to recognize that you are struggling with an issue.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
Because if I don't acknowledge that I have a struggle.
Right.
Then my heart hasn't changed, right? I'm just giving you a line of BS. I could say certain things, and then if, you know, it goes back to the fruits of your labor, right?
Right.
Like, I can say whatever I want. Like, I could be the most eloquent speaker and say all the right things. Like, we know people like that.
Sure.
We've counseled people like that.
Yeah.
But the reality is, if you give them a little bit of time, they will demonstrate exactly where their heart is.
Right.
So you can't just automatically say what comes out of your mouth is blah, 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 because that's part of it. But you have to look a little deeper. You have to, you know, give benefit of the doubt, I guess, is a way of putting that, because someone in the moment, right, they may be a good person, but they react strongly because maybe there's some trauma in their past that triggers a certain response when something comes at them a certain way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tone of voice,
mm-hmm.
The way a person looks, that is a trigger because that connects with a trauma I had when I was growing up, or
oh yeah,
abused,
good point.
Or you know, assaulted, whatever you want, if that hasn't been dealt with, then that can creep up. And
yeah,
you could have the best intentions and your heart could be in the right place, but all of a sudden,
there it is.
And you're like, wow, what the heck? Like, I thought I'd already worked on this.
Yeah.
No, you just kind of shoved it under the rug.
So,
because it happened 20 years ago, doesn't make it go away.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And I hear that all the time. Well, I don't want to deal with that because it happened 20 years ago and it's not causing a problem. Are you sure?
Yeah, we both heard that before.
Why are you still using drugs?
Right, right. So I think the scripture verse is accurate. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But I think we have to remember who he's talking to. These guys have displayed their true heart
right.
on many occasions. And now he's confronting
them.
And
they're just trying to trick him.
They're just trying to trick him. They're trying to back him in a corner. They're trying to use their religiosity as power over them and the people. And he's telling them, you're just a bunch of vipers, man. Mm-hmm. You know, by what you're saying proves what's in your heart. And they have displayed that over and over and over again. So you have to read that scripture in context, because it doesn't necessarily always apply to every person in every situation, depending on trauma, experience, culture, and that kind of thing. What about the people? I've heard people say, it's only a word, Monty. It's just a word. It doesn't hurt. It's not damaging. It's just a word.
Yes, words are damaging.
Yes, they are.
You can't take them back. Bruises heal and go away. Words do not.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah. And you've seen a ton of that in the work you do.
Yeah.
People that are carrying that stuff with them for years.
Well,
right?
Anybody who has, like you gave an example, you're not ever going to amount to nothing. You're never going to match up to your brother or your sister or whatever, right?
Yeah.
That carries a lot of weight. And if you hear that every single day or even once a week for your youth, and then maybe you get into the workforce and you get a crappy boss and he says, well, you're never going to get ahead in this business because blah, 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 or whatever.
Right.
Or you should be like Joe over there. He comes in early. He does his job. He doesn't say anything.
Yeah, the comparison thing.
Right. So then it just triggers into that old trauma. So then you start believing, well, there must be something wrong with me if not only are my parents saying it, but other people are saying it too. So now I'm starting to believe it. So now I have shame, right?
Yep. Yeah. How about this one? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? I heard that and I began to ask myself, what is wrong with me? There may be nothing wrong with me. I just may be being a kid, you know.
Or an adult.
Or an adult who...
I've had someone say that to me as an adult, and it doesn't feel very good. And you're thinking, like, there's nothing wrong with me. Why do you...
Yeah.
And it's because of that person. It can get complicated, right? Because that person's belief system and experience growing up, that they think that things should go a certain way. And if you're not living up to their expectations and doing things their way, they could use that term.
Right? Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
Here's one. Somebody says something and you respond by saying, well, that's just stupid. That's just ludicrous. That statement
I have actually
ignorant.
Said that, I have to admit.
I've said it too.
You know, it's... Yeah, I can justify that by saying, but what was said was stupid.
It was stupid, right. But just because it's the truth, should we always say it? Maybe not, you know. How about in the recovery circles, right? How about one of the most popular one, or one of the ones that's heard most often in some circles in the 12 rooms of 12-step recovery is, shut up and sit down, you have nothing to say.
I don't know. Those people need to be booted out, tell you the truth. I've never heard that. I've never heard anybody even come close to making a statement like that.
Wow, I have.
And I would suggest that they need to exit stage left and go find an anger management group to belong to.
Yeah.
I've heard some things that people have experienced that have blown me away. And I actually have gone out of my way to try to, like, have that experience so that I can, like, respond to it. And I have not, I mean,
I'm naughty man.
I mean, I've had,
well, you're fortunate. I've seen it happen. I've seen how it crushes somebody.
Well, we had this girl come to one of our groups. I think I've shared her story before, and it was an AA group, and she was struggling with, you know, narcotics, and she came to one of our groups. I wasn't there, or it was happened after the meeting or whatever. But this girl came in, she was struggling and she needed a meeting, and that was the only meeting that was around it that day. And so she came in, and introduced herself as an addict. And after the meeting, one of these people that we call the AA Nazis,
right?
Even their license plate says "Act as if," right? Said, if you're going to come to this meeting, you need to address yourself as an alcoholic, or go find another meeting. And that person actually was struggling and kind of pushed her over the edge.
Right.
And she ended up using that day and ended up in the hospital for a week.
We're going to pause the show just for a second. Hold on. Okay, we're back. And those watching on video got to look at Dave there for about a minute and a half. Aren't they lucky?
You're very blessed. No, so that... I just found that, I just happened to find that out because a person that was a good friend of theirs actually visited them in the hospital, and they had, because they'd asked him, like, what happened? So,
sure.
And I know that's not the first time that's happened. Some, you know, I haven't personally experienced it or witnessed it because I wouldn't have allowed that to happen. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, that angers me.
You know, one of the things that I've heard too, and I have to admit, I've been guilty of it, is what we might call indirect intentional communication. In other words, I say something in a meeting, for instance, and I preface it by saying, well, for me, this is what works for me. And what I'm really saying is what you're doing isn't working. It's wrong. And I disagree with you. And so I'm going to let you know that that's just not appropriate or whatever. And I'm putting your idea down by saying what works for me. Now, there's plenty of times when people say what works for me and they really mean that.
Right.
But there's other times when they're like playing secret agent, right? What I'm really doing is I'm putting you down.
That may be your experience, right?
Yeah.
My experience where I've been in meetings and I know someone's struggling and they share something.
Yeah.
I will, when it comes to be my turn, if I try to pull something out that may help that person.
Right.
Right. And so without giving advice in a meeting,
sure,
I'm giving advice if they can pick up on it. And so
I've seen that too. Yeah.
I may say, like, it might, yeah, my experience with that is this, or,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
This is what's worked for me really well.
Where blah, blah, blah. I get the whole secret agent thing, because that's kind of what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But I'm
you're
not,
doing it for
I'm
the
also
purpose.
Sharing my own experience, but I'm hoping that person can pick up on the fact that this is,
I agree,
similar to what they're going through, and that they could try different things, whatever.
Yeah.
And if I've already gone, sometimes I'll say something additional.
Right.
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 To tie that in. If I know that person is struggling or I have something that might be beneficial,
mm-hmm.
you know? And sometimes people will come up to me after the meeting and have a conversation, and we can kind of get deeper into that. Oh, the one I always love is when some meetings there's people in there that kind of get too big for their britches, you know?
Right.
As I call it, they get over this weird thing. I'll introduce myself as recovered.
Right.
And nothing like throwing everybody off is when you say that in a group, because then you can hear all the whispers and
he's in denial. Oh,
he's setting himself up.
Right? I'm like, and I'm hoping like somebody will come talk to me after the meeting and say, what do you mean by that?
Right.
Even though it says it right in the big book the first edition to the big book.
Yeah.
The forward to the first
edition. Oh, it's all over the place. Yeah.
So it's, yeah, it's. It's interesting.
It is. It is. Isn't life grand?
But I had to learn along the way that I it's not about me.
Yeah.
Right? It's about helping others.
Right.
And sometimes we get stuck in a rut where it's time for us to move on. And I think sometimes when we start feeling those things and seeing those things and getting angry or, you know, then it's time for us to move on, right?
You know,
instead of pushing through it and going, well, I'll fix these people. I'll teach them and I'll show them and I'll blah, blah, blah.
Right, it's like, right.
Well, maybe they need to do it. It's spiritual kindergarten, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so maybe I'm not in kindergarten anymore. And so right. I need to go and go to the next level. We get ourselves stuck in kindergarten for too long.
Yep.
Sometimes that it causes more problems.
It's really interesting you say that, because I remember sitting in a 12-step meeting and voicing how frustrated I was with stuff that was going on in the meeting. I think it was at a business meeting, and I was free to say that because it was at a business meeting. Yeah. And this guy stood up and he says, you know, maybe you're going to too many meetings. And some people laughed, right? And he said, no, I'm serious. And I really took that to heart. He was right, right? I was in a meeting every day at 6 a.m. and back at noon and three times a week in the evening. Same meeting.
Mm.
Anytime you hang out with family that long, you're going to start picking each other apart. You just thought it's kind of part of the natural evolution of the thing, right? But he was right, and it was time for me to make a switch.
And that was for you. It's not for everybody.
I mean, not for everybody.
I went to meetings every day for almost 2 years.
Yeah.
Didn't go to the same meeting every day. I went to different meetings, and I had to expand my
experience. Was the same one. I didn't experience the other stuff.
I usually had probably at least a half a dozen people. We all went to the same meetings except for maybe a few.
Yeah.
But that was my recovery family. I'm still close with today.
Mm-hmm.
Those same people.
Mm-hmm.
But you can get to the point where it can cause you more problems than it's.
Sure.
There's more problems than solutions.
And I remember my sponsor, Bruce, saying to me one time, I said, Bruce, I'm just not getting fed here. And he just started laughing. And he says, all right. You've been sober this many years, right? You've led book studies. You've done this. You've done that. You're not going to get fed here. Your job here is to help feed.
Right.
Your job is to come here to see where you can be of service to them, not them to you. And when you get that, I think you'll be a lot more happier. And I was like, wow. Oh, boy. Yeah, you pulled the rug out from under me. You are absolutely correct. You know, but it was all about me and my little feelings and everything. And unfortunately, that's kind of the nature of man. We tend to do that. But I think we forget sometimes that one of the big reasons that we're in recovery is to learn how to be a maximum service to God and the people he puts in our lives. And we think it's all about just being abstinent. And that's just the hook, man. That's just scratching the surface. You know,
that's just getting your foot in the door.
Yeah.
I think it's about love, forgiveness. And, you know, usually those two, but you add in service to others is probably the third big one to the three-legged stool, right?
Yep. Unity, recovery, and service. Yeah. Service is a biggie. Not volunteerism, but servanthood.
Right.
You know. And there can be a difference. Ooh, we could do a show on that sometime. The difference between volunteerism and servanthood. I have to think about
that. Well, yeah, you got to be careful what words you use, right? I'm not your servant.
Oh, somebody said, I said to somebody, I says, well, you're going to, I quoted Bob Dylan. I said, well, you're going to serve somebody. And the guy goes, I serve no man. And I thought, okay, this is not going to be a healthy discussion.
All right.
Well, we are we're just about out of time. Closing thoughts, Dave, on the mouth reflects the heart.
I would say something that I posted on Facebook, right? If I always tell the truth, I don't have anything to remember.
Yeah. That's a lot of work. Lying.
How is it? Yeah, it is. It can be talk about conditioning. That could be one of those things that we condition ourselves, right?
Yeah.
I remember being in recovery probably, I don't know, two or three years, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe four. I don't know. I was at church and standing in a circle of people, and everyone was telling stories. You know how you get when you start, you know, like, oh, yeah, well, I got a story, right? You kind of think to yourself, well, you know. And so without even thinking about it, like, this story came to mind that I just started sharing. And as I'm saying it, I'm going, wait a minute. It didn't happen that way. Right? But I was always good at saying the same thing.
Yeah.
And everything was always, you know, all my ducks were always in a row. Right. You know? And so I caught myself and I just looked around, and it was like, you know, you get five people talking at the same time. No one's really paying attention to anybody anyway. So I took a half a step out of the circle and just kind of caught my breath and said, you know what? That didn't happen like that.
Mm.
I'm like, did anybody like catch that? Well, mm-hmm. Of course they wouldn't, because they didn't know me back in the day.
Right.
But I just realized how powerful conditioning is, whether it's negative or positive,
yeah,
can have an impact on our life even years down the road.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't like that was something I was still perpetuating, you know, sure, in recovery. It just was back in the day when, you know, you're trying to be a part of something, anything, and, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, if you always tell the truth, you don't have anything to remember.
Tell the truth. Be kind to yourself.
Forgive.
Forgive. Yeah, absolutely.
Yourself and others.
So our closing song this week is by Mike O'Brien. We're going to be having him on the show. Oops, I'm going the wrong way. Whee! There's the camera spinning around. Mike O'Brien's going to be on the show next week. Listen to the announcement at the end of this song for our lineup of what's coming up this week. And Mike O'Brien's interview, he's really an exceptional recovery recording artist. So we're going to close out with his song, give you a taste of what you're going to hear next Monday. This song is called Might As Well Be Me. He's decided that somebody is going to have a good day today, and it might as well be him. Here's Mike O'Brien.
There's a lot going on. There's a lot that could bring me down, but I'm not gonna go there. Today I wanna rise above. I could spend so much time in my head till I lose my mind, but I'm not gonna go there. Today I'll listen to my heart. Someone's gonna have a good day today. Might as well be me. Someone's gonna shine a light today. Might as well be me. We'll be right back. one's gonna have a good day today, might as well be me.
Mr. Mike O'Brien and his song, Might As Well Be Me. Now listen, coming up on Wednesday is the Monty Man's Recovery Meditorial. I'll be talking about how God works through our limitations. And then on Friday, Chris S. and myself will be co-hosting Walking Through the Language of the Heart. The topic, written by Bill W., is entitled, Last 7 Years Have Made AA Self-supporting. That proves to be very interesting and informative for all of those of you who love AA history. And may I encourage those who have never dug into the history of Alcoholics Anonymous to tune in to Friday's show. And then the following Monday is the recovery music and the story of Mr. Mike O'Brien, the author of the song you just heard, Might As Well Be Me. He'll be right here at Take 12 Recovery Radio sharing his experience, strength, and hope, and his music as well. Now, don't forget, you can tune into all of our archives and our shows if you miss a particular show by simply going to take12radio.com and clicking on any of the podcasting platforms listed there, including our YouTube channel. All right. Until our next broadcast, this is the Monty Man along with Dave Fleming and the rest of the Take 12 Recovery Radio family, reminding you that because of God's great grace and his love, you are entitled to overcome.
This has been a broadcast of KHLT Recovery Broadcasting.